Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Epic Fail. And today we have with us Amber Roy, owner of the Control Lab. This is actually one of the first interviews I'm doing over Zoom because Amber is all the way over in Italy right now. Hi, Amber.
Hello.
Hello. So what we're going to do is we're going to find out just a little bit more about your business.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. And actually, what brought you to Italy to begin with? And I'm going to get your whole story here. So the way I met you was through a business networking group.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So with that, what business were you in then?
At the time that I was in the group, I was actually the owner of a pet hotel and a pet service company. Yeah. And I had that business for 6 years? And then I sold last year.
So it's like really crazy time.
That was my exit from the group.
That was your exit from the group. And you were ousted from the group at that point.
Yeah.
If you have no business, you can't be in this business networking group.
That's right. This group is for business
owners. Yeah, exactly. Got you into that particular line of work.
Honestly, it was kind of just by chance. My family had kind of always had animals around and I missed hang out with cats and dogs. And so I decided to just start taking care of them in the evenings or boarding them, like taking them into my house and taking care of them. And it kind of snowballed. Then I was like, hey, does anyone know anyone who like walks dogs for a living? Like, is that a thing? Cause I was thinking, man, I could like really get some exercise because I was struggling with working regular jobs where you're either stuck at a desk or you're, you know, standing in one place for a really long time. And so your fitness kind of takes a dive, especially when you're a workaholic like me and you're always working.
Yes.
Yeah. So dogs were a way for me to like get my puppy fix and also get a lot of kilometers in every day. You know, I think my average day walking dogs, I do like 12 kilometers in a day. So yeah, and turns out I was good at it and it just blew up.
No, that's awesome. And do you have an exit strategy right from day one? Was that like something you were planning on? No.
No. Oh God. In the beginning, my family was like, that's not a real job. You can't have a career in dogs. And oh yeah, they were just like waiting for me to be like, oh yeah, I can't make enough money to live. And they never really, you know, kind of foot in mouth later on. And when they have friends that are interested in working for me and they have pets of their own that they want me to take care of. So it was kind of funny to see them do a 180 later on when they found out, not only can it be a real job, but it turns out I was really good at it. And I grew a pretty big team. I think at the end I had around 15 people on my team. So
that's really awesome. And being that it was a business in Calgary, I have to always ask every one of my guests, where are you from? Were you originally from Calgary at that point?
No, I am a BC born and bred girl.
Oh.
So my parents split when I was really young. So I was in BC for the first 12 years of my life. And then my parents were like, hey, who do you want to live with? And at the time we thought mom was evil because she made us do chores. So we chose dad.
Okay.
So at 12 years old, we went to go live with my dad, and at the time was working and living in Calgary. I moved to Calgary and never really looked back.
Okay. What would you say some of your favorite parts of Calgary are for the time that you were there?
Oh man, I am like a huge foodie. So my weekly ritual was brunch. And so my favorite places were like all really good restaurants with brunch every Sunday.
Any particular place stand out?
Oh man, I got a lot of favorites. The scenery has changed a little bit since I've been gone, but I really love Monkey. I know they changed ownership, so it's a bit different, but Monkey is delicious. They're potatoes.
So good.
Oh, they're so good. They're like sweet. They got a little bit of sugar on them or like cinnamon or something. I don't know, but they're delicious. And then I also, what's another favorite? I really like OEB.
Yeah, OEB is great.
Kind of a chain. But they got really good breakfast bowls. So yeah. If I want a breakfast bowl, I go there.
Nice. Blue Star. Blue Star is one for me. It's like right down the road from the
original. In Bridgend.
Yeah. So good.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I've been there.
So you got your business to a point, and what made you get the idea to sell it?
I think around like the 4 or 5 year mark, I started getting real burnt out. Like I was exhausted, working all the time. I was with my ex at the time and I wanted, you know, to start living our life. I wanted to travel. I wanted to start a family. And I didn't see that as a possibility the way that I was working. That like it was not a sustainable strategy. So I was like, well, can I like sell it? Like, can I bring a partner in? Like, I don't know. What can I do? Like, I don't know. Would anyone even want to buy it? I don't know. Yeah. So I started exploring the idea then. And then things just got to kind of a point. I split up with my ex and became a workaholic and got even more burnt out because I was working even longer hours. At like the climax of it, I was 100 hours a week.
Wow. That's a lot. That's, yeah. Even for some entrepreneurs, that's a lot.
Yeah, I was basically sleeping at the facility with the dogs.
Yeah.
Because they bark all night. So you're lucky if you get a wink in. And I was like living off of Tim's a block away. And we had a grooming bay. So like if I was starting to stink, I'd hop in the grooming bay real quick and before anyone came to work. It was crazy. That was a crazy time in my life. I look back now and just like, wow. Yeah.
So you decided to sell the business and you were successful at that time. Was the travel bug in you then or was it
always
creeping up on you?
Always. I think my first serious trip I took at 18 and I went to Germany for a month and I went solo.
Nice.
I was mad because I had a whole bunch of girlfriends lined up to go for a girls trip to Mexico and everybody ditched. And I was like, you know what? I'm still going somewhere. And it turned out to be Germany because I have a couple friends there. And that was like the first time I really got to go by myself and I loved it. I just loved the culture shock. I loved everything about just experiencing a new country. And so I kind of got the bug then. But my dad was also a travel bug. And so he'd done and seen lots of cool things. And so I was always interested in, I want to do that one day.
Oh, nice. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. So yeah, that's quite a change from like, from wanting to go to Mexico to Germany.
Boom.
Like, yeah. And it's just like, it's just the opportunity arose and you're just like, do it.
Yep. So what it was is my mom, when I was younger, had German exchange students. And so one of the exchange students had gone back to Germany and said, well, why don't you just come to Germany for a visit? And I was like, you know what? Okay. Booked my ticket. I'm going to Germany for a month.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. That's so cool.
Yeah.
So obviously at some point, so you sold the business and shortly after that, Italy became a thing. Before we hit on Italy, have you been anywhere else? What's some of the other places you've been in?
So after I sold the business, it was like, I'm going to travel the world. I wanted to do 30 countries before I hit age 30, currently 29 still. So I don't think there's an opportunity anymore with the current airplane situation, but
yeah.
No, I wanted to backpack because I'd never gone backpacking. And I knew that it was a really wicked way for me to really experience the cultures and cheaper. And so I decided to backpack Central America. And so I did that for about 3 months or so. I backpacked Guatemala, Nicaragua, El Salvador, Costa Rica, Honduras. Yeah, it was really cool.
Costa Rica, I love Costa Rica. Out of all those, I haven't been anywhere else.
Really?
I don't have any reference point other than for Central and South America.
Nicaragua is the cheap Costa Rica.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, go to Nicaragua.
So I have some family that are Costa Rican, and they'll be like, no, Costa Rica, Pura Vida. That's all it is.
Beautiful. They're all really, really beautiful countries. And they all kind of have their own flavor. Honestly, it really depends on the company you keep, I think, is what really shapes the experience.
100%, yeah.
Yeah, and so I had a really good time in Nicaragua because I had a really good group of people at my hostel. I mean, we did a lot of things together. It was like a little mini like soap opera, and it was just hilarious. Like every day there was like, oh, this person and this person went off last night, and oh, we are going for surf lessons today. You want to join? It was really cool experience. And then Costa Rica, of course, was my like test because the season I went was their wet season. Man, is that depressing when you're a backpacker, like you were constantly just drenched. I accepted it. I was covered in mud all the time because I had to walk everywhere. I was like, you know what? I think very soon I'm going home. I think I miss home a little bit. So after that, I treated myself. Just kind of get to a point, I think sometimes when you travel for longer periods, where you miss those like connections, because sometimes they're fleeting and sometimes they're very superficial when you travel for that long, because everyone's kind of going their own way, doing their own thing. And so when you find those good groups, you tend to like cancel your plans on the next town and you stay with them for a little longer and build those relationships. And so it was a really fun time and a really great experience. And I'm really glad I had the opportunity to do it.
Nice. So you came back.
I came back.
Yeah, your Latin American kick in and came back to good old Calgary. How soon after that was Italy on the agenda?
Then I was like, okay, I came back. I'm like, man, Canada is still Canada. Like, this isn't exciting. I need to go somewhere else.
Oh, come on, we're so exciting. You got a great podcast guy.
Canada is still Canada. I grew up here. This ain't nothing new for me. I got to experience something new. And so I was like, okay, well, maybe I'll do Europe. Like, I could hit a lot of countries at once, you know, thinking of my 30 before 30 goal. And Europe is definitely where I got to go. And then I'm like, you know what? Never been to Italy. I'm part Italian. Never been to Italy. I think I should meet my family there. And it was like meant to be. I had a long lost cousin reach out to me from Italy shortly after. I was so like, what? I should go to Europe. And we connected and I was like, I'm coming to Italy, man. And he was like, oh my God, we can meet. This is great. It turned into discovering my roots and I haven't left Italy. I landed here and I took a short trip to Budapest.
Okay.
And that was it. Yeah.
Let me get you to rewind a bit. Long lost relative. Like you always hear about, okay, you know, I got an inheritance from a long lost uncle or, you know, long lost relative. Like you got to expand on this.
Yeah. So he was digging into our family because of his name. He got his name from my great, great grandfather. And so he wanted to know where it came from and who this man was and led him to find me. And he is technically, I think, my fourth cousin.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, it's a distant relative, that's for sure. And it's different, you know, because in Canada, with my family at least, we place a lot of importance on family. So for us, like, I'm very close with my fifth cousin, my sixth cousin. My grandpa was like one of 12 kids. But here in Italy, it's a little different. Family is just like a way of life. That's just what it is. And so I don't think it's as important to them. Like the immediate family factor, absolutely. But like holidays don't really involve a ton of other relatives outside of the immediate family, which I thought was like, huh, we always have like cousins.
That's kind of surprising, yeah.
Yeah, cousins. And then I think it's because the families are so large. They're like, well, it's just not like the logistics don't work. So everyone kind of does something separately.
Yeah, and I like going to St. Francis in Calgary here, it was like everyone was a cousin and everyone was like the whole school was Italian and everyone was somehow related.
Oh, so it was like, it's so strange.
So, you know, hearing that is kind of shocking. Like you would think that it would be bigger.
It is a way of life. It's the norm. And that's why I think it's not like a hyper focus. For my family, it's a hyper focus. Like we're very family centric. And I think it is family centric. Family centric means your individual family unit, like your parents and your siblings, not really extended to the aunts, uncles, and cousins. Mm-hmm. Whereas in Canada with my family there, it's like fifth cousins, sixth cousins, aunt once removed. Like, you know, it's if you're related to me by blood or marriage, we're family.
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So you moved to Italy. Where in Italy are you?
I'm in the south. So I literally went back to the small town where my great-great-grandfather was born. It's a town called Campania, and it's in the region of Campania. So a lot of people confuse the two. About 30 minutes away from Napoli, so you kind of have a big city to compare it to. But that's a small little mountainside village, really quaint, a lot of cobblestone roads, and everything is basically like uphill. So you get your cardio in every morning to go get coffee.
that's awesome. So this kind of brings me to a couple other questions. Obviously, so you're the owner of the Control Lab, which owning your own business is something probably very advantageous if you want to travel, because getting work would be tough.
Yes. Yeah.
And what is Control Lab?
I call it a digitalization agency. I don't like to say virtual assistants because I feel like we're high level task people. So essentially what the Control Lab is we're like your right hand man or woman. And we help you solve these problems that you have in your business and address the pain points. So a lot of the times in my work with Black Collar Society, which was my past business, I had a business coach for the last year and it was a godsend. I learned a lot from her, and I could have gone the route of like life coach or business coach afterwards. And I think that would have been a really natural fit for me. But the problem for me is that I find a lot of those people don't implement the strategies or the practices that their business coach is asking them to do. Like, they give you homework and then there's always a reason why it doesn't get completed.
Yeah.
And so I really wanted to be the person that helps you complete the homework. You know, I want to throw you a lifesaver and help you tread water, because a lot of the times they're just drowning and they have no focus. They have no idea what to do. And this was me. Like, I was burnt out and I just wanted someone who was capable to just take something off my plate. Like, just do it. Just take initiative, help me out.
Yeah.
And I didn't have that person. So I wanted to become that person for other small business owners. And so that's essentially what the Control Lab is.
Well, that's awesome. That's awesome. So obviously being able to do that remotely.
Yes.
Is very handy. And obviously the question that probably everybody is wanting me to get to is, how are you coping? So you only made the move to Italy how long ago?
So I arrived in Rome end of September.
End of September.
Yeah.
And so now, you know, obviously with the situation we're dealing with, Corona and COVID-19, what is the climate over there? We're self-quarantining here, which, I mean, some of us are doing a good job at it. Some of us are not.
Yes.
Right? We have bars are closed. I think restaurants, gyms are closed. I think that's the extent of it, really.
Honestly, I have to say I'm a little bit more thankful to be here in Italy during a crisis like this right now, because they are so civilized. It's just a completely different culture, completely different mentality. And so it's not this panic, this frenzy, this like end of the world doomsday thinking that a lot of Canadians are experiencing and what we basically are seeing Canadians experience on the news. It's kind of sad, really, because Italy has an aging population. The culture in Italy is you live with your parents until you're basically like married off. The economy sucks, especially in the south of Italy. Like, to give you an idea, a skilled trade would make about $800 Canadian a month working full-time.
Oh, wow.
A little over full-time, actually. And that's a skilled trade, like electrician, welder. That's a skilled trade.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of a big punch in the gut, like for the tradesmen in Canada being like, oh my, $800 a month. Like, I would be sad to make that in a week. And so it's completely different here. And so a lot of the times you live with your family pretty late in life. And that means the aging population are parents and grandparents that you likely spent a good portion of your life with. And so they're taking it very seriously. We are taking it very seriously here in Italy. And we're trying to protect our loved ones.
That's what I see here, is that anybody that really puts two and two together and acknowledges the fact that, you know, their loved ones and their aging, whether it's parents or grandparents, are only a step away, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's, you know, sure, you know, can be young and I don't care if I get it, I'll be sick for a week, whatever, but be cognizant of your loved ones as well, right? So that's,
and it's not even just the old, like the aging population. It's also the really young, like the babies. So like new parents with lungs that aren't fully developed.
Immune compromised.
Yeah. Immunocompromised. Anyone with like diabetes. My dad's got heart problems and issues. My uncle, and you know, they're not super old. They're in their 50s, but because they have these pre-existing conditions, they're also susceptible to this virus. So yeah, we take it very seriously over here. And I think there's just so many different things that you're going to hear on the news. And I think maybe that might be the shift and the difference is here in Europe. And I experienced that with my European friends as well before, is we're very critical of the news and we take it into account, but it's not like the word. It's not a trusted source. And so people do their own research and they look at other sources and they read and they try to educate themselves as best they can with the resources that are available. But I think in Canada, America, and these English-speaking countries, Australia, the UK, they rely heavily on the news and they take it as this is the only trusted source. Gospel, it's gospel. And it really isn't. And so I think it's unfortunately responsible for causing a lot of the panic.
Oh, they have been absolutely sensational. I'll say the news, right? Like it's a lot of sensationalism. But saying that, I don't want to be one of these people that downplay it either.
No, right? I think it's very important. I think in the beginning, I think that might have been the fault was that it wasn't taken very seriously here, and boom, it's like, you know, light in a bushfire. It just spread, and it doesn't take much because it's through like respiratory function, right? So if you cough or you sneeze and you get these little droplets anywhere, cough or you sneeze at the grocery store, on the produce, could be, you know, on a park bench and someone picks it up there or at a cafe. So it has
to. Or if you're kissing hello and you're like, oh,
we love to kiss and say hello. It's the cheek to cheek thing here. And, you know, and that's part of the culture thing as well. And that might have also been why it spread so quickly. But it's starting to come down south. So it started up north in Milano, and now it's kind of made its way down to the south of Italy. And, you know, people are obviously very scared.
And rightfully so,
I think there's a lot of fear. There's a lot of uncertainty, you know, for a population that already doesn't really make a lot of money going to work full time. I'm trying to educate myself on the systems that the Italian government is making available as well, just for my own curiosity's sake. I don't really apply. It's just kind of interesting to see, you know, I'm a Canadian whose first language is English. I've obviously learned some Italian. I wouldn't say I'm fluent just yet, but I can speak Italian. And so it's also in another language and I'm learning a completely new system. And so it's definitely,
That's a lot of challenges. And to throw this into the middle of that, you have quite the adventure going on. anybody alive today really has quite the adventure because it's a worldwide pandemic, right? Like this is something that we have never seen before. I think if I am to throw a silver lining on this, right? Mm-hmm. Which is something I've been telling people because, you know, we got to have a silver lining.
Absolutely.
Is it, maybe this will make like not only our communities where we've been very divisive, you know, politically and, you know, environmentally and whatnot, but not only just our communities, but even globally, we can come together a little bit to, you know, come together with a solution and maybe chalk up a win for the old human race and have some positivity that way.
I think the shared experience of going through the pandemic and the following and the subsequent, unfortunately, global economic crash, I think will bring, I hope, you know, you always hope. I've seen a lot of things on my travels, so I'm like we'll wait and see. My part and, you know, I'll try and get my neighbors to do their part and we'll see what happens. Silver lining is definitely community and togetherness. The Italian population, like all the things you see on the news, like us singing outside and having dinners outside with each other.
That's so cool.
Yeah. Like I see people in the apartment across and sometimes in the morning on the terrace, ciao. And, you know, we're saying hello to each other.
That's awesome. That's awesome. That's really good to have that and to have such like a friendly community to be in.
Yeah.
You say that it's kind of moving, it's working its way down south.
Yes.
And being that you're not as densely populated as of a community there in Campania, are you seeing a lot of it? What are some of the precautions that people are taking? Like, are you self-quarantining or is there government-mandated quarantine?
It's government-mandated. And now most industries and businesses were shut down. So like there was no cafes, bars, restaurants, anything like that operational. They're all shut down. There are some like industrial type businesses that were still operating. I think now I'm actually staying with my boyfriend and his family in a community about 30 minutes away from my village. And here the leather industry is pretty big. And so they're finally just starting to shut those down because it's reached Solofra. And now it's basically the market, like hardware stores, like really only the essentials. And people are really scared now because the virus has arrived in our village and it doesn't take much to spread. Like, just, it's like lighting a bushfire and it's so fast. The numbers in Italy, like every day, like we're looking for updates every day. And so I kind of update my boyfriend's mom that always asks. And so, you know, it's basically how many more cases have been added, how many more in Italy are dead. And that's it. That's like the count in the mornings that I give to her. And it's a little bit morbid. It's really sad.
Yeah.
And so last night, actually, a relative of my boyfriend and his entire family have the virus and they got it from work. We're still working. So I think now they're like, okay, everyone in the South wants to continue working because they don't make a lot of money. And if they don't work, they don't get paid. Mm-hmm. But now they're taking it a little more seriously because a lot of those people have little ones at home. My possibly future sister-in-law has a one-year-old at home and she's a pharmacist. So she is super scared because she's dealing with sick people all the time. They were coming over here for dinners almost every day and we would babysit the little one and now they're shut in their home. And so everyone's on serious lockdown now and we're only exiting the house like when we actually need food. We're not just going to like get our little exercise in, our little opportunity to see people and pick up things. So the climate here in our village has changed a little bit. We were taking it seriously and trying not to spread it. But unfortunately, it's like those small cases from outside towns that you just can't stop. Like the first case here, it was a really sad situation. It was a father of a girl who had, I think it was like a gastric bypass, like some kind of a weight loss surgery that didn't go well. And it left her unable to walk. And she had this surgery in Milan. And so he obviously went to go and be with her and stay with her. And he unfortunately contracted the virus from her. And she got this virus from the surgery being in the hospital. It's an unfortunate situation. And he came back here, I think not knowing he even had it. And now it's starting to spread. So, yeah.
It's been in Italy longer, yes. Right? So you've had more time to deal with it. It's a little more extreme in Italy than it is Canada. Canada's not quite as dense in population-wise. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Campania, how it compares to Calgary?
No, my little village of Campania is only 15,000. But
okay. They
say like villages and, you know, you drive 2 minutes and it's another town. So like
it's
extremely densely populated here. And my little town was like 75% like older people, like over the age of 70, I would say.
Okay.
So if it were to hit, like, I don't think it's hit my village yet. I'm in contact with my friends there, but if it were, it would be devastating because like there's too many older there. Like it would wipe out half the town.
That's insane.
Yeah.
So if you had any advice to give to the people of Canada, just not so much like on a government level, but you know, a one-to-one level, if you know, somebody's maybe not taking it as seriously and still, well, I'm going to go out. I heard of a microbrewery that was still open here in Calgary because it's technically not a bar. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people were going out to that. Like, any advice that you would have?
My advice is, worst case scenario, you say, oh my God, remember that time that like that really not serious thing had us cooped up in our houses for like 2 weeks? Like, that's your worst case scenario here.
Yeah.
And that's not a worst case scenario. That's 2 weeks in your house to like, you know, tackle your to-do list, you know, paint a room or do whatever you got to do. And just like recharge, sit back. In Canada, we are like workaholics. Everyone works a lot. It's a very work-centric country. And I think it's just time to rewind. You know, binge on some Netflix, try a new recipe. And worst case scenario, you're just like, hey, remember that time when we were stuck in our house for 2 weeks? And you're not jeopardizing anyone else's life.
Exactly. And that's, yeah, some quality time with the kittens.
Yeah, some quality time with the kittens.
And
just think of your
or the kids even, right? Like, look at it as like family time.
Yeah.
Right? You can, there's a lot of things you can teach your kids how to cook. You can, you know, all sorts of different things. And it doesn't have to be all about the Netflix or the gaming or anything like that. It can be some quality time.
Yeah.
So again, you know, a bit of a silver cloud there too.
Yep. Some self-care, some family care. And I think it's also really important to think about your neighbors. So when we're out there buying, you know, six packs of toilet paper, who are we robbing of the opportunity to buy a pack of toilet paper?
Yeah.
Who's going without because we need to have some in storage. So I'm trying to give a realistic view of what's happening at the worst of it so that people don't feel the need to go out and buy everything because the stores are going to shut down. That's not what's going to happen. All the essential services are still going to operate because that's what needs to happen in order for a country to continue to live. You know, groceries have to get delivered. Yeah. Those people are also really unsung heroes. You know, the delivery people, and the people working in grocery stores, gas stations, that come into contact with a lot of this stuff. So those things aren't going to shut down. We're at the worst fit. They're not shut down. You can still go to the grocery store every week. And so there's no reason to be crazy and drop, you know, my mom was telling me stories about people buying $5,000 worth of meat from the meat section and buying the whole meat section out.
Yeah. The whole, it's been crazy.
It's a little crazy right now. So think of your neighbors. And that's, I think my advice is just take it seriously, because worst case scenario, you're just going to be like, oh my God, remember that thing that wasn't that serious, but I stayed in my house for 2 weeks. That's worst case scenario. But like, I'd say best case scenario, really, like that's what we want. That's what you're saying. Yeah. Worst case scenario is you continue to go to the microbrewery. You continue to go to work. You continue to go to all these places. You contract it, you spread it, and you're responsible for killing not just one person, because that one person could also spread it to people. So you could be responsible for killing thousands of people with this virus. It's crazy.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's, I've seen a really good, a thing, like a meme that said basically like, go and spend the 2 weeks inside, because the longer you don't self quarantine, the longer we're going to have to deal with this. Yep. So if we all just like came together and hunkered down, like another meme that I seen, geez, it's Meme Central. It's
like, everyone's on social media right now. That's why.
Their grandparents went to war and they had to go and fight, you know, in World War I or World War II. And now what the world is asking of us, our duty is to go home and sit on the couch and watch some Netflix. Right? Like, yep. I think I got this. I think, you know, it's going to be...
I've been training my whole life for this.
my whole life has come to this one moment.
So I think, just togetherness and just being conscious of other people. And Canadians are usually really good at that. Yeah. So I have faith that they'll, you know, recognize the need to come together in more ways than one, and you guys can stop the spread.
Absolutely. So back to business, and you know, kind of a segue here was seeing like some of the staying at home and not going to the office or whatnot. This is something where somebody like you really comes in handy.
Yeah, my skill set is obviously has been specifically developed for all these digital tools that everyone doesn't know how to use yet.
Yeah.
So all of these, I don't know how to meet on Zoom. I don't know how to, you know, automatically integrate these things into my business. And that's kind of what we're good at is business automation and integration. And that's like my toolkit, is all these digital things. So,
And I will ask you this again at the end, but you know, just for now, if somebody wanted to get a hold of Amber Roy at the Control Lab, how do you do that?
We're on all social channels. So the Control Lab on Facebook, the Control Lab on Instagram, the Control Lab on LinkedIn, and obviously email as well, amber@thecontrollab.com. And yeah, it's super easy.
Okay. I think it's kind of cute how you went from Black Collar Society, which is the doggy daycare, to the Control Lab, right? And I think you like lab. For some reason, I'm thinking of it as not a lab as a lab, but I'm thinking like Labradoodle.
That's another way. I like originally the idea in my head was like these little minions in your brain, like the little lab in your brain that kind of controls everything you do.
Totally. I like that too. That's awesome. So something else that you've been involved with, just because we've talked in the past. Mm-hmm. Now, when you moved to Italy, did you purchase
a house?
House or a condo or?
Yeah. I bought an apartment here actually.
Oh, nice. Okay. And do you own in Calgary as well?
Yeah, I do. I have a townhouse there right now, and and that's what's got me a little bit stressed and scared is that property.
Oh, so what's
more than anything. You know, seeing these memes on social media where renters are basically wanting to squat in people's houses.
Oh, gosh.
I'm like, what? Canadians are crazy.
Yeah, no.
Mostly that. I think a lot of the companies, though, like the mortgage companies and stuff, are coming together to defer payments at a minimum.
Italy, I heard, was sort of on the forefront of that, too. Like, Italy, I don't know if they deferred them or if they just canceled them, but I thought that deferred. I thought that was super cool, the government to step in and say, hey, because then a landlord, it's going to make it a lot easier for a landlord to say, hey, you know what, don't worry about rent for the next 2 months, right?
As far as I know, I think it's just a deferral.
Yeah.
But, like, to give you the real estate in general here, is, man, it is a range. It is not consistent whatsoever. So I purchased my condo for, on paper, 25,000 euro plus all the additional costs involved in the process, which adds up. For example, yeah, I can buy a condo in my village for 25,000 euro, or I could spend like 2 million on a condo in the Amalfi Coast. So it's crazy.
Oh, yeah. Difference.
And you understand, obviously, you know, there's, you know, the tourism factor in Amalfi, but tourism factor, I just think that's outrageous.
So you have some experience with the real estate world here and there. Mm-hmm. How about with like Airbnb versus renting? Mm-hmm. Where's your experience lie more, like more of as having the steady renter, you know, like a permanent renter, or more of Airbnb? What do you like better?
There's positives and negatives for both. It's a smarter move for me to rent out my townhouse in Calgary by the room, because I can actually take more for it. I can likely break even when I structure the rent that way. And what I've did in the past, I basically house hack. So I live in one of the rooms and I rent the others out.
That's what I really love about renting per the room, is that if you rented out the whole apartment or whole mm-hmm. house, you then have to give 24 hours notice and there's a whole hassle there. Where if you rent out per the room and you're one of the room renters, mm-hmm. you're going into your house and you're going into your property and you're seeing it on the daily or, you know, weekly even, and mm-hmm. you're able to keep a little bit better control on it.
Yep. Oh yeah, absolutely. I love that factor. And got my dad in Calgary right now. I love him to bits because he checks on the property for me. I still store, so I keep storage in the basement. It's a much better approach, I think, for me, because if I were to rent out the whole house, I would be taking a big hit every month. I'd probably be losing about $400 to $500 a month if I rented out the entire house.
Okay.
Versus house hacking, which is what I've historically done. But I've also done the short-term rental. So a couple years ago, I think about 2 or 3 years ago, I approached my dad with the idea of doing a short-term rental with his camper. Like, he's got a little RV. Beautiful little setup. Campers are so comfy. I call it glamping. It's like, it's not camping. You're basically in a tiny little condo parked next to a campfire.
Yeah.
Like, it's it's super comfortable. And after working out some of the specifics, you know, he finally agreed to it. And we really built a system. And so I took what I learned in systemizing and automating my business with my business coach, and I applied that to the short-term rental with my dad. And so it made it really hassle-free. And I wouldn't say completely hassle-free, because a camper is like, I do not recommend, like mm-hmm. it is very hard because there are so many factors involved, you know, with heating and the utilities and stuff that you use. Like, so you use propane to help heat, you use electricity, you're using water. It's also, it's like refilling all the essentials. Some people don't like to drink the water out of the tap, so we also have like bottled water. The cleaning is obviously very different because it's an RV, not a house. Yeah. So it's not as much time. The laundry situation, because we don't have laundry in the camper, obviously, but they do have coin-operated laundry on site. But then there is another problem, coin operated. So you need to make sure you're loaded with loonies and quarters and take some time to do all the laundry. So I have experience doing both. My dad was blown away by the amount of success we saw in our first year. And so we decided to keep doing it. Sadly, it's only, you know, because it's a camper and then we live in Canada, you're only able to really start like April or May at best. And then we finish the season September, October, depending on when they turn the water off, right? Yeah. And then I did also attempt short term in my house for a little while, and it was great. I love it. I love hosting travelers. But then I knew I was moving to Italy. So it's not sustainable for me from a long distance to do by room. And there's way too many complications. However, I also time listed my apartment here, different climate, different setting. So I'm in a really tiny village, and the season for me would be the summertime, because people like to go to the mountains in the summertime because it's freaking hot here in Italy.
Cool. Yeah. So that's about it. So do you have any messages for us folk back in Canada?
I miss Canada. I see a lot of snow, and I loved figure skating. I loved bargaining. So you guys are lucky to have snow. I didn't get to experience that this year, but I miss all my friends at the group.
I'll say hi.
Maybe I'll see you guys on a Zoom call now that you guys are all doing the telecommute thing for meetings.
Yeah, so, for sure.
So we'll see. I'll see you guys all end of September is when I plan on coming back.
Okay,
so
right on.
If all goes well, if they're not still quarantined at that time.
You know what? I do feel that, you know, we're going to come together. We're going to beat this thing. I think midsummer, by the time we hit midsummer, it should be done.
I hope so, yeah.
Yeah. Right on. Oh, and one last time.
Yes.
If somebody wants to get a hold of you.
If someone wants to reach out, we are on Instagram as The Control Lab, Facebook as The Control Lab, LinkedIn as The Control Lab, and then my personal email as well, amber@thecontrollab.com.
All right. So in the meantime and in between time, Amber Roy, stay epic.
Thanks for listening to Epic Failin'. If you like what you hear, be sure to subscribe and give me a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. Follow me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter @RealRyanPhailin, and visit my website at TheRealEstateGuy.com.